In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. As I was looking at the readings this week, earlier this week, as much as I love that gospel, I've probably preached at every opportunity I could as a priest for almost 14 years. And I realized in my preparation, I've never looked at or preached this portion of Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. So I thought, well, maybe we should look at that. So the Lord held me down into that, and I created a really wonderful sermon, which he threw away about 4 o'clock this morning. But there's some great clarity in what Paul is trying to say, but he says it like Paul says things, and by the time he's done, you're kind of saying, what is he talking about? Because he covers some real serious bases, and if we're not really tagging into things, we don't really capture it. But he's really trying to challenge the people in the church, and which should challenge us yet today, to understand the fullness of what it means to be truly followers of this one true God. So he takes us back, and he begins with saying, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. And they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. He's trying to say to those who are hearing today and us today, God was with his people when Moses led them out of Egypt. Amen? I mean, in case you missed it, there's been great movies done about that. You know, they were in slavery. They take off after some very dramatic things happened, as God proving himself to be God, and they take out across the desert, and Pharaoh was letting them go. God hardened his heart, and then he changed his mind, sent his army to hunt them down, and they find themselves up against this river they can't get across, the sea, and God parts it, and they walk across. And then he closes it to protect them from the army. And they find themselves in the desert with nothing to sustain them. And yet God gives them everything they need. Amen? Amen. And what did they do? They acted like they didn't know God. This is what God has done. God has saved them. God has provided everything for them. And as soon as they get into this situation, they're like, ah, man, it was better in Egypt. No, I miss my idols. You know, I miss the comfort of being enslaved somehow because they couldn't see what God was going to do next because God was calling them to be faithful, to trust in him, and yet they couldn't. Now, Paul is using this same lesson and he's carrying it forward to the church today, at this moment in Corinth and for us today. He says, now these things occurred as examples for us so that we might not desire evil. Most importantly, let me back up just a little bit, having shared the behavior of our ancestors. In verse 5, nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. You remember that part of the story. And he's saying, you stick with me, I got you, proved over and over again. And now Paul is saying, these things occurred as examples for us so that we might not desire evil as they did. Paul's saying, don't follow what they were doing. But remember in the beginning when he started this passage, do not be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all baptized. They all understood in that moment that they were God's people until God's plan didn't match their plan. And then they went looking. And they did all sorts of things, as Paul goes into. Desire evil as they did, kind of sums it up. Then he gives a little more detail. Do not become idolaters as some of them did, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. Shockingly, that did not get their attention. their actions led to their death, and when their sinfulness led to their death. We must not put Christ to the test, he says, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, and do not complain as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. They were just complaining, by the way. I'd rather be back in Egypt than out here. Destroyed by the destroyer. What was happening is they were being destroyed internally. Their spirit was dying out, which was not of God. See, the destroyer still lives in this world, amen? And it isn't God. It's the evil one will sneak in there and lead us away from God. And that was what was happening with them. And he says again, these things happened to them to serve as an example. And they were written down to instruct us on whom the ends of the ages have come. And as I sat with this and I was listening to it, and I was seeking the point became rather clear to me. And you can decide for yourself if it's clear or not later. But the reality is, I have on more than one occasion in my life found myself moving through life and not particularly happy about where I was. Amen? Or I have seen the things going on in the world around me and not been really impressed with the job that God was doing, thinking you could do better. Amen? This is not what I was looking for. This was not what I expected. And sometimes in these situations, I have decided that as a follower of the one true God, that I needed to take a lead. You ever had that happen? Found yourself in the midst of a situation, go, this is not the way this should be. I'm going to step in and I'm going to fix this problem. And as I thought about that, I said, oh, yeah. Paul said, don't forget, these people knew God, and yet this is how they behaved. Our ancestors, by the way, it's easy to stand back and go, those fools, how could they not know? And I'd say to myself, well, do I know? Sometimes. Do I get it wrong? Yes, I do on occasion. And then I stop to think, I said, well, what's the question here? What is Paul trying to do? And he's trying to raise up disciples of Jesus Christ. And we take this concept within ourselves, as they were then and as we do today, and we decide what we need desperately is good leadership. And if that leadership isn't good enough, then I'll be the leader. And we take off in that direction, amen? Let me show you how to lead. And we have done that with good Christian people and good Christian perceived leaders themselves have done that and decided, let me show you the way. I will show you the way. So now we have to ask ourselves, well, what does it mean to actually be a good leader? What's it mean to be a good godly Christian leader? So many of us have said, well, I'm not a good leader. Well, reality is none of us are. Because a good Christian leader really only does one thing. Follows Jesus. And here's these stories of our ancestors and say, well, why weren't they just obedient to God in their mess? We have a long history of that. If you haven't read the rest of this book, I recommend it. But we have this long history of not following God. We will for a while. When things are terrible, we come running, don't we? Oh, God, please, please. But normally by the time we get to that place, we've already taken the lead and found out we couldn't do anything. Anybody ever do that? Just me and three other people. The rest of you all, we need to have a conversation later. Because y'all know something I don't know. I mean, good for you. But I'm so glad you're here to help me. But the reality is this, we face this on a regular basis. We look at it and we think, I've done everything I can. God, why don't you do something? To which I suspect he goes, Of course, he's looking down at me because he's taller. And he's like, how long? Even in our Psalms, it's how long, O Lord, how long? And I'm sure he's going, I have no idea how long. How long is it going to take you to see me? How long is it going to take you to trust me? How long is it going to take you to serve me, to worship me, to love me, to, oh, I don't know, prioritize my plan over yours? How long? He's a gracious God, thankfully. But this has really becomes a huge struggle, and clearly it was a struggle at this point, and it's still a struggle today. I so wrestled with this sermon today, because I find myself in a very odd place as a perceived Christian leader, at a time when people are looking for some leadership. And I have this very odd experience. And as a Christian leader who has absolutely no idea the fullness of God's plan, but one who trusts that I am in the place where God's called me to be, even in the times when it might feel like a desert, and certainly in the times when it's plentiful, I'm perfectly okay going, yeah, God's right here with me, I can feel it. But when I'm struggling and when things are going south around me and things are going this way and that way, and I'm not particularly a fan of it, I'm prone to think, okay, God, where are you? And he's like, right there with you. And I said, that's right, you're right here with me. Your plan is bigger than what I can see. It's greater than anything I know, and I can trust you. I don't like what I see, and I don't like what I hear, and I hate the fact that I see so many people struggling and potentially more people to be struggling in the future. God, I feel like I need to do something. And he says, yeah, trust me. And then you begin to speak that, and you know the weirdest thing happens when you become that leader, which isn't easy. People think you're weak, at best, insane, at another level. But you got to this, and we got to do this, and we got to make a plan, and we got to make this happen, and we got to step in, and we got to do something, Father. What are we going to do? Follow? Trust that God knows more than we do? Trust that in this time, wherever that time may be, good or bad, if we find ourselves in the midst of it, it's because he put us there? Not to be him, but to follow him. See, this world already has a Savior, and it's not us. But we can surely point to him when we lose sight of him, and when others are losing sight. And we can find strength in that if we can rise above our biggest struggle, which is ourselves. Verse 12. A lot of ink spilled on verse 12. Go dig around in it. That did not help my preparation. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. Wow. So I had to really think about that. What is Paul trying to tell us? I have my own sort of understanding and translation. Maybe it'll help you. If I know that I am right and you are wrong, I am standing because I think I got it sorted out in the midst of a plan that I don't know the fullness of. And I see it happening a lot, and I occasionally take a stand on my own. And that is a key understanding, on my own. So how do I know when that's happening? Let me help you, what I discovered this week, brothers and sisters. When I am completely worked up over some worldly situation, or maybe you being worked up over a worldly situation has me worked up, I know I am now standing. And the potential for me to fall is great. So when I am standing, as Paul describes it, I am not at peace. When I stand as a follower of the one true God, I can be at peace in the midst of hell. In the midst of tragedy. I might even live through being thrown in a furnace. Might walk on water. See, that's where the impossible becomes possible. So if you, like me, tend to find yourself in the midst of times when everything inside of you is screaming out, something has to happen, something has to change, and I know exactly what it is, and I'm going to push this to the limit, and you find nothing but chaos and stress in your life, you are falling. Stop. Trust in God. Trust that He knows what's happening. Trust that He knows that we need to make a journey. Trust that He knows that we are not looking to Him, just like our ancestors did. Trust Him. The Israelites got so bad that when it got worse later on, when things weren't going so good in Jerusalem, and they were coming down from the north and taking them over, they got so lost in the fact that God was God, they tried to align themselves with Egypt to be protected. Did you know that? It's in here. This is amazing what's in here. How often do we do the same thing? The poor, the hungry, the thirsty, the destitute. Jesus said, you'll have them always. And the church keeps standing and looking at the mess going, who's going to fix that? Again, gave that job to you. If you stand with me, God says. But what can we do? Here's a little hint. Without Him, nothing. Because when we stand alone, we will fall. When we stand with Him, He will reign in our lives and give a chance to another to recognize that He could reign in their life too. I'm arguing with myself, brothers and sisters. Made a return to social media. God Almighty. Really? Really? If you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. If everything you're doing is causing you anxiety, you are standing alone. Because God does not create anxiety. And the church needs to be at peace right now. And always. Because the world that we walk in is not. Amen? Amen. So let's not forget as Paul reminds us. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. You're just not that special. Sorry. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. Didn't say anything about fixing it. Your job is to endure it with Christ. God is faithful in everything and in every situation and in all the brokenness and all the deceit and all the struggle and all the people across the world who are in need and in your neighborhood and with your neighbor who you maybe just don't like. God is still there, and God is in control, and God is calling us, his people, his church. Just as he was calling the Israelites in the desert, he calls out to us today. As Paul reminded the church in the first century, he is reminding us today. Brothers and sisters, God is faithful all the time and everything, in every situation, in every circumstance. The question is, when will we be faithful to God? And let him do what he has planned to do, whether we like it or not. Amen.